Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Welcome to this broadcast of the Word of Grace for the 14th of January, 2024. I bid you continuing good wishes for this new year. I am Nigel Parker, Minister of the Congregation of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Sherbrooke, and we're pleased to bring you this broadcast on CJMQ Radio. Some of you listening found your way to us over the Christmas and New Year season to join with us in the Congregation for Worship. And you can join us on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. in person at 256 Rue Queen Street in Lennoxville, or online through Facebook or YouTube. If you would not join with us, then we trust that you'll find a congregation in which you can worship and serve God in these times. Our theme today continues on from the journey of the wise men and into the death of the innocents, the infants and toddlers put to death by King Herod. It shocks us into the realization that the birth of Christ was not all peace and joy. The coming of Jesus was the beginning of a struggle to death between the powers of evil and the kingdom of light, a struggle that would have its climax in the passion and death of Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, we are drawn to your feet in worship. We who are part of your creation look to you, our Creator. Our hearts are laid bare by your light, and so we humbly ask for your mercy. We come to you as a people in need of assurance and forgiveness. We come to you as a people in need of healing and wholeness. We come dependent upon your love. Draw us close. Enfold us in your arms. Fill us with your Spirit, that we may reflect your light within this dark world. Speak your word with boldness, and draw others to your feet. On this day, when in our broadcast we recall the murder of innocent lives, let us stand before our just and holy God, and remember the violence and injustice of our world, and confess our sins in penitence and faith. You are the God of the weak and the vulnerable. Lord, have mercy. You judge the tyrant and the cruel. Christ, have mercy. You wipe away the tears of the brokenhearted. Lord, have mercy. Father God, the star that led the Magi to the stable announced to the world that its Saviour was born. Today we live in a world that is still covered by darkness and still needing to make that journey to the stable door. May our lives reflect your light day by day as we seek to serve where you have placed us, that we might be the means through which others can encounter Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. Our reading is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, picking up in verse 11, following the narrative of the Magi who came to the house where Mary and infant Jesus were. On coming to the house, they, the Magi, saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted, because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. Amen.
Little folks are people too, very much like me and you. The little things they say and do, they kind of make your day. Foolishness and common sense through the eyes of innocence. Skip a rope or jump a fence, getting in the way. Daddy, why are you so tall? Daddy, why am I so small? And Daddy, who makes snowflakes fall? Could it be the Lord? Chasing puppies, climbing trees, bumping heads, skinning knees. It's not very hard to see that kids are God's reward. Little folks get down and out, the girls will cry and the boys will pout. Before you know what it's about, they're smiling once again. Colored kites on summer breeze, jingle bells and Christmas trees, too soon they're only memories. Do you remember when? Daddy, what makes eagles fly? And what makes clouds float in the sky? And Daddy, if I really try, I'll grow up someday. And little folks slip through our hands like so many grains of sand. Best enjoy them while you can, so soon they fly away.
Christmas is receding into the background now, and I trust that we've all been grateful for the best that the past season has offered. Your heart has, I hope, been warmed by good meals, good company, good moments around a board game, good memories created by crisp winter walks, or some wholesome entertainment of television or the movies. Above all, I hope that it's been a season when you have increased in the faith that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, and that his name, Jesus, means he will save his people from their sins. Of course, there is another narrative to our Christmases, and I've mentioned it before, that Christmas can have a way of chilling our spirits rather than warming our hearts. The cooling isolation of relationships that are distant. Sometimes geographically, with family on the other side of Canada, or for some of us, the other side of the Atlantic. Or maybe a chill of relationships separated by a social distance, an argument that went out of control, a frigidity in relationships that goes back to who knows when. Or maybe you had a season with an outcome that made you say, I am never spending another Christmas like that. And yes, of course, there's a separation by death. The freezing waters of our mortality grip around our hearts and freeze-dry our Christmas experience. No sooner have the angels returned to heaven, the shepherds returned to their fields, and Joseph and Mary are about to return home from Bethlehem, when an angel warns Joseph to take the mother and child and flee to Egypt. And hard on Joseph's heels comes Herod's soldiers, killing every male child 2 years and under, born in Bethlehem and in all the territory surrounding it. Jesus was born into a cruel world. Long before Charles Dickens wrote about Ebenezer Scrooge or Dr. Seuss about the Grinch who stole Christmas, we have Herod, the man who hated Christmas. Herod's family business was cruelty, and Jesus was born into a world of pain and cruelty. In a fit of rage, Herod had his wife executed, and in the year 7 BC, he had two of his sons killed because he saw them as a threat to his throne. Before Herod's death, a third son was executed for the same reason. When Herod died, he was replaced by three remaining sons who divided up his kingdom. And one was Herod Antipas, or Herod the Tetrarch, who we read about in the rest of the New Testament. He's the one who executes John the Baptist and who sends Jesus back to Pilate when the Jewish leaders bring Jesus before him. Herod's family business was cruelty, and Jesus was born into, lived and died in a world of real pain and cruelty, a world like yours and mine. But there's a problem with this story, because it seems that some people have some kind of divine get-out-of-jail-free card, some way of being immune from the suffering of the world. The Magi were warned in a dream about Herod's cruelty, and so they go back home a different route. They are immune from the pain. Joseph is warned in a dream about the plot to kill Jesus. So they go off to Egypt. Jesus gets out of the danger zone. And left behind are the innocents, the holy innocents, as history calls them, the infants and toddlers who bear the brunt of Herod's wrath and unjust cruelty. Why do they not get a private word of knowledge to tell them to get out? What kind of Christmas is this when some get a warning and others don't? When someone get a private hotline to God and others have to take their chances with evil? What kind of God is it that lets some get off and others don't? Well, that's a 21st century question, isn't it? Not just a first century one. What kind of God makes sense in a world in which some seem to be randomly saved and others randomly judged? Especially when these things involve innocent children. Maybe you know that rage too, when you've been in a neonatal unit, pleading to God for the life of a little one, hooked up to tubes and wires, even as they slip from life. Meanwhile, down the corridor and around the corner and in another ward, there is someone taking home a wholesome, healthy baby. Sometimes life just seems so cruel, so unfair. Yes, this is Herod's world, and it seems so unfair. And what would we say? What do we say to a mother who has lost a child, to a father who's lost an infant to death, to all of us who live in a Herod kind of world with random cruelty and vile wrath? Certainly, Jesus did not get off with a free pass. Throughout his life, he became like one of us, becoming fully human and fully God. living a human life in which he experienced immense pain and suffering firsthand, and still remembers in the skies his tears, his agonies, his cries. During his ministry, he displayed his deep knowledge of grief by healing the afflictions of so many people. And at the last, he died. He died a cruel death, an unjust death, an early death. A death that was undeserved, the kind of death that the holy innocents suffered. Yet he conquered death by his resurrection. The holy innocents, the infants and toddlers, died that Jesus could live. And here is the good news. Jesus died so that they could live forever. If we have a hope that there is a place where the holy innocents live in light and life and glory, it's because Jesus died in darkness and destruction and downright shame and guilt. We live in a cruel world, a Herod kind of world, but God has given us Jesus to have the faith and confidence that it will not have the last word. The sorrows and grief that Jesus carried were for our transgressions. He became the man of sorrows for the sins and wickedness of the world. He bore our grief and carried our sorrows. John Calvin said, "Though hostile forces rage and chaos threatens, God is king, therefore his people are safe." Here's a poem by Malcolm Gait, written about this passage and our living in a Herod kind of world filled with refugees and unjust sufferings. We think of him as safe beneath the steeple, or cozy in a crib beside the font. But he is with a million displaced people on the long road of weariness and want. For even as we sing our final carol, his family is up and on that road, fleeing the wrath of someone else's quarrel, glancing behind and shouldering their load. Whilst Herod rages still from his dark tower, Christ clings to Mary, fingers tightly curled. The lambs are slaughtered by the men of power, and death squads spread their curse around the world. But every Herod dies and comes alone to stand before the Lamb upon the throne.
My Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a world as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I had done? Saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was
Let us pray. Loving God, in a world of sin, a world of violence, Christ was born to save. He brings peace and joy to the lives of those who recognize him and follow him, and at the end, his kingdom will never fail. We give you thanks, O God, that his ways are not the ways of earthly rulers, and that his rule is not one of oppression and of violence, but of truth and love. Most loving God, as you put it into the mind of the wise men to search for Jesus, please give to us the wisdom to seek and to find. When we become proud and stubborn, give us the wisdom to find our humble Lord, born in a stable. When we become bewildered and lost in life's rush, give us the wisdom to find ourselves in the light that streams from Bethlehem. When we become selfish and covetous, cluttering our lives with possessions, give us the wisdom to find that the best joy lies in offering our treasures to Christ. When we become depressed by our human failures and sin, give us the wisdom to find the divine compassion, mercy, and forgiveness that Jesus came to bring, and to live as children of light rather than as children of darkness. Father God, hear our prayers for our rulers and for the rulers of the nations of this world, that they may rule with justice and with truth and love and dwell together in peace. Caring God, as we recall the events surrounding the birth of Jesus today, hear our prayers for the children who are killed by men of evil. And hear too our prayers for those like Joseph and Mary, who must flee their homes and live in foreign lands, and our prayers for those who hunger and thirst while the rich buy weapons of war and gather possessions that serve only their own appetites. Father, hear our prayers this day for those whose situations and individuals we name before you now in the quiet of our hearts and with the words of our lips. And hear us now as further we pray together in the words Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice, giving heed to what we say. Jesus Christ is born today. Ox and ass before him bow, and he is in the manger now. Christ is born today, Christ is born today. Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye need not fear the grave, Jesus Christ was born to save. Calls you one and calls you all to gain his everlasting hall. Christ was born to save, Christ was born.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. 1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.